Welcome to the CRE Exchange Podcast, where we deep dive into the global trends and challenges of CRE professionals across all sectors of the commercial real estate industry. We engage with experts in the space to bring you innovative insights into industry practices, opportunities, and challenges to better inform your decisions. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a global leader in asset and fund intelligence for commercial real estate.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of CRE Exchange. I'm Cole Perry, your host and Associate Director of Research at Altus Group, a leading provider of asset and fund intelligence. I'm joined by Omar El-Tarai, our U.S. Director of Research. Today, we have another special episode for you. We'll be sharing some of the biggest shifts and surprises from the latest edition of the CRE Industry Conditions and Sentiment Survey. Omar, it's good to be with you.
Glad to be here and talk about these Q4 results with you. But before we dive into the findings, Cole, do you mind giving the listeners a quick recap of the survey objectives and structure?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a survey that we conduct quarterly. This particular one was conducted between mid-October and early November, gauging opinions during the fourth quarter 2024. It's about 400 folks from more than 100 firms across the U.S. and Canada. So across all CRE organization types, many different functional areas. Respondents were largely seasoned professionals. Average years of experience was actually 20 years this time. So the purpose of the survey, this is conducted by the research team across the U.S. and Canada in an effort to provide insights into market sentiment, conditions, metrics, and issues affecting the CRE industry. So a lot to unpack here today. So let's go ahead and dive right in. Omar, what were some of the biggest shifts you saw between this survey and the last one?
So first is really the perception of pricing is increasingly viewed as fair. U.S. survey respondents indicated that they perceive current pricing across many of the major property types as, quote, fairly priced. A majority of respondents indicated that they believe that current prices for retail, hospitality, industrial, single-family rental, and multifamily are priced about right. Moving away from the overpriced characterization that they had been reporting in prior quarters. While many respondents still view some overpricing among these property types, the property types perceived as most overpriced were land and development and office. Compared to the Q4 2023 survey results, the characterization of overpriced for industrial, office, multifamily, and retail, so your kind of big four commercial real estate categories, has fallen significantly, coming down by nearly 25 percentage points for each, suggesting that the current pricing that the participants are seeing in the market are more in line with what they consider to be appropriate. And while the move away from overpriced to fairly priced is a welcome sign, the respondents who believe the market is cheap or underpriced are still in the minority across really all sectors. So the TLDR on this is that the perception of current pricing is improving. A large part of that has to do with the capital side of the equation, which we'll touch on shortly. But perceived value or pricing also has a lot to do with cash flows and the operating metrics and the operating condition of individual properties and sectors. So, Cole, what did the survey reveal about property sector performance?
Yeah, so there were some big movements in this quarter. And I think the one thing that's worth calling out is that data centers have emerged as the clear favorite property type. But interestingly, expectations for just your general industrial warehouse is wavering. Data centers did move into first place. They're the most anticipated top performing property type. I'll actually explain a little bit of how this question works before I dive too far into it, but we ask folks to bucket at least three property types into either they expect them to be worst performing or they expect them to be best performing. And so 62% of respondents expect data centers to be among the best performing. That was a 32 percentage point increase from quarter three 2024. So definitely shows you, I think there was a lot of news about data centers, AI, quantum computing that probably drove a lot of this. Multifamily was close behind at 60%. This was down a little bit quarter over quarter and year over year as well. But like I mentioned, industrial sentiment continued to soften. So the fourth quarter was actually the fourth consecutive quarter of declines in the percentage who told us they thought industrial would perform best. Now, the percentage of respondents who cited life science properties as a best performer and the percentage that said it would be a potential worst performer. Both moved quite a bit. Nearly a third of respondents expect life science to be among the worst performing property types. It was up 19% quarter over quarter. On the other hand, sentiment for land and development improved a bit, with about a quarter of respondents viewing it as a worst performer. That's a 20% decrease quarter over quarter and a 16% decrease year over year. And then lastly, everyone probably expected this, the outlook for office still remains pretty bleak. Just 4% of respondents in Q4 anticipated it to be a top performing property type, which is a bit higher than I would have thought, but 88% expect it to be among the worst. So Omar, you told me that more property types are seen as being fairly priced. I just told you that a lot of key sectors are actually expected to perform well, or at least less bad. Are respondents telling us they plan to do some transacting?
Short answer, yes. So big firms are really showing a very big appetite for near-term transaction intentions. Stepping back from just the big firms and looking at the responses in aggregate, respondents' near-term transaction appetite remained elevated in the Q4 survey. And I interpret this as a bit of a confirming signal that seems to support many of the elevated or optimistic expectations that investment activity will pick up in 2025. 90% of respondents signaled intent to transact over the next 6 months, with incrementally more looking to sell than in the prior quarter. The largest firms, or those with more than $5 billion in CRE AUM, reported the highest intent to transact at 95% of respondents at these larger firms, noting intention to buy and or sell over the next 6 months. Meanwhile, respondents from shops with smaller CRE AUMs noted that they also plan to be in the market transacting, but they also made up a larger percentage of the responses that indicated that they have plans to hold or really no plans to transact over the next 6 months. A major input into any of these transaction decisions is the ability to finance a transaction. So in addition to finding an asset that you want to transact on, making sure that you have that financing in place to see a transaction through, those are two major components to really seeing transaction activity pick up. But Cole, what did the survey participants show around the expected capital availability over the coming year?
The good news is that broad majorities of respondents expect effectively all sources of debt and equity to be at least somewhat available over the next 12 months. What we do with this question is ask folks about 10 different sources of capital, 5 sources of equity, 5 sources of debt, to fit them into these buckets, whether they think they'll be very available, extremely available, somewhat available, not at all, or not very. And on the equity side, nearly half of respondents expect funds to be very or extremely available. That increased 5% quarter over quarter and 22% year over year. So funds are expected to be much more active than they were a year ago. Respondents also noted increased expectations for capital from REITs. 87% believe they would be at least somewhat available, almost universal, up 10% quarter over quarter, 25% year over year. If you switch to the debt side, in the fourth quarter, 56% of respondents said they expected debt funds to be very or extremely available. Equity and debt funds broadly expected to be very active. And one of the most dramatic shifts that I think we've noted on a couple of other podcasts and in some of our writing, the securitization market has seen the most dramatic shift in expectations. 87% believe the source will be at least somewhat available over the next 12 months. That is 11% up from the prior quarter, actually 51% up from the prior year. So Omar, I know we'll be going to CREFC this year, so I'll be excited to hear some more about what they expect for the securitization market in 25. But a lot more to kind of unpack there. Those are just our like 4 big takeaways from the survey, but there are certainly a lot more to uncover. So Omar, I want to get your take about what do you think about the overall story? What does this say about what you expect in 2025?
Yeah, so the survey results really seem to support a busier year ahead. So I think everybody can view that as optimism or a positive outlook. with improved financing conditions, still stable cash flows, and an increased appetite to transact. I would say that these survey results, if they come to fruition, really appear to be setting up 2025 as the first year of very clear or obvious recovery for CRE. The return of optimism is very apparent in these results. And despite that optimism being clearly present, I think the optimism remains a far cry from being Pollyannish of everything's good, nothing's bad. And so respondents still indicated elevated expectations for a number of, I would say, bumps, including a still present concern of economic slowdown, still elevated financing costs. There is a strong expectation that CRE credit distress will pick up, and property operating and cash flow concerns remain. So all in all, if I had to characterize these results, I would describe it really as measured optimism amidst the presence of very specific risks. The results really seem to illustrate that the U.S. CRE market in 2025 looks better than it did in 2023 and 2024. That's why I would say it looks like it, if these come to fruition, would be a clear start of a recovery, but not quite at that level of, ready to rip and roar. So overall, I think that it was pretty balanced, but they seem positive. What was your big takeaway if you had to bring all of these results together?
I think I had a fairly similar takeaway as far as market recovery is concerned. If you rehash some of the things we were just talking about, respondents tell us that they're increasingly gearing up to deploy capital. They see more property types as fairly priced. They have less negative views of a number of property types. They seem to have bigger appetite to transact and expect capital to be more available to do so. Sounds like a pretty good story, but I'll talk about this a little bit more shortly. One of the things I noticed is that when we asked what kind of their priority issues for the next year are going to be, a lot of folks seemed more confident that cost of capital availability, some other property-related costs are not going to be as big of a concern. But a lot of that energy was channeled into these kind of exogenous risks. So people don't want to, respondents don't want to be fully confident that everything is going to be great next year. And so a lot of the negative energy, I think, was channeled into some of these other risks, talking about the economy, weather, insurance, regulation. So to me, this speaks to the sort of broad uncertainty that still exists. I think one of the things that's worth mentioning is that the survey did cover the sort of immediate pre-election period. The results are now settled. Perhaps there's some more clarity about the direction of the economy and the regulatory environment. But I think we'll have to wait and see what the quarter one 2025 results will say, or what the results of our next few installments of the investment and transactions quarterly say, to see if all this optimism actually translates into action, which I know is something you were looking for as well. So I think fairly similar takeaway, just like you said, seems like a lot of our respondents are expecting the true recovery to begin next year. But those are just kind of our big takeaways. Omar, was there anything in the results that surprised you this quarter?
Yeah, so I was surprised by the firm size differential across responses. For example, I just called out earlier the transaction intentions that are really being led by the largest firms looking to transact. But the variance in responses based on different firm sizes was also seen in plans for expanding or contracting footprints. Nearly 4 in 10 large firms noted that they plan on expanding operations into new metros. This is up 10 percentage points higher than the overall response rate of all firms that were expecting to expand. So big firms are expecting to expand more. Meanwhile, it was only the smallest firms that reported any plans to contract or really exit certain markets. And while the geographic footprint responses aren't quite as stark or clear with the size differential as the transaction intentions, I do think that this is almost complementary, or it supports the transaction intentions of, if the larger are looking to be more active, do more buying, more selling, and they also are planning on expanding their footprint, that seems to check out and almost, at least on the surface level, validate. Each of those data points seem to validate each other. But the surprise was just the clear difference in firm size. But was there anything that jumped out to you or was surprising?
I think I alluded to it when I was talking about the big takeaways, but I always am surprised by some of the results in the priority issues question. So, concerns over cost of capital continue to ease, but like I mentioned, some of these property-specific and external risks are really coming back into focus. So in the fourth quarter, nearly half of U.S. respondents cited the cost of capital as a top priority in the next year. But that was down a bit on the quarter and actually down 22% from the previous year. But despite these big drops, it was still the main concern. Now, if you looked at property-specific challenges, these are still fairly prominent. Insurance costs, operating expenses, leasing and tenant retention were identified by 48%, 42%, and 30% of respondents, respectively. And then rounding out the top five was economic growth, which 39% of respondents said was top priority. Now, if you look at the biggest movements, and I think this is where some of the surprises came for me, capital availability registered the steepest decline, but geopolitical risk posted the largest increase of 15 percentage points. And some of those external risks also grew quarter over quarter, supply chain disruptions, natural disaster and weather risk, economic growth concerns. I think that probably speaks to some of the key things that happened during the fourth quarter. You had a couple of hurricanes. There's also been a lot of discussion of supply chains and potential tariffs in the Trump administration, and just a lot of uncertainty about economic growth. So one of the things that was worth mentioning, annually, natural disasters and weather risk showed a huge spike, up 18%, followed by insurance costs, which I assume are two related issues, 15%. But what was really interesting here is that if you looked on the year, inflationary pressures, generally speaking, seeing big declines. So either this is no longer a major concern amongst some CRE players, or they are figuring out how to process these costs. So cost of capital down 22%, capital availability down 17%. Inflation down 17, development costs down 13. So there's a lot of numbers in there. I know you're not going to be able to remember all of them, but we are going to put out an article shortly that'll shed some light on this question. Covers so many different issues, and we've now been tracking it for 5 or 6 quarters. So looking forward to fleshing out some more takes on the priority issues in that upcoming article. So, Omar, like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of stuff in the survey. We can't cover it all on the podcast. So do you want to tell folks how they might be able to access the results to view them?
Absolutely. So the easiest way will be to see the link in the show notes. Otherwise, you can find it on the Altus website or simply search Altus CRE Conditions and Sentiment Survey in your browser. The link will take you to the survey homepage where you can find past survey results and sign up to participate in future surveys. Again, because this is a quarterly survey open to all CRE practitioners, I highly encourage you to participate because it'll make the findings more robust and useful, but also because it gives you a chance to sign up and get the hard data that supports this survey and all the past surveys. So you can play around with the data yourself.
Excellent. So, Omar, I think that is all the time we have today. But before we sign off, I do want to share with our listeners how they might be able to give us some feedback on the show. If you want to leave us a message via voice recording, feel free to check the show notes. You'll find a link that will lead you to a place to do that. I'd also encourage you to rate or comment on the show the old-fashioned way on your preferred podcast platform, so Apple or Spotify. But feel free to just send us an email at altusresearch@altusgroup.com. We'd love to know what topics you'd like covered on the program, just to hear what you think. So in the meantime, Omar, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to speaking with you on another episode of CRE Exchange. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the CRE Exchange podcast, powered by Altus Group. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a global leader in asset and fund intelligence for commercial real estate. At Altus, we bring together capabilities across technology, analytics, valuations, tax, and development advisory services. We are guided by bold thinking, integrity, and inclusivity, partnering with CRE professionals to maximize opportunities with exceptional service experience. Find out more at altusgroup.com.